What a treat it is for us to be together again. There is something uniquely powerful that occurs when the body is in concert together. There is not a way that any of us can feel all of the experience that occurs. It just generates something within us. And that's why the Bible talks about to gather together. Because as the body of Christ or the body of believers, we help generate energy in each other. It is nice when you look around and see a brother or sister here. Sort of look around and experience that. That's right. It won't hurt your eyes. It'll sure help your spirit. It's nice to be together. We're particularly glad to have our guest speaker and his wife with us. Brother and Sister Moore have created a wonderful aura of the presence of God, and the penetrating power of His Word has gone into the heart and mind of many. I'd like for him to come up today and greet you in this adult class. Brother Moore, we're thrilled. Would you make him welcome to our Sunday morning adult class?
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's such a blessing to be here with you this morning. Such an honor to be with Brother and Sister Myers in this great church. But I'm just thankful for his touch this morning. And as they're singing about, he's a chain breaker, he's a miracle worker, he's a way maker. Amen. I can't help but just reminisce on times that he's done that same thing for me, in my life, and my wife, and my son. And if you'll read through the Gospels, you'll read words such as heal and healed and healing and clean and cleansed and cleansing and touch and touched and touching and made whole. And I believe that ought to be the mantra for our church services. Amen. Because you cannot leave the same if you're touched by the power of God. And that's how we as humans measure things. We measure cold drinks by touch. We measure hot things by touch. And Jesus himself said, I'd rather you be hot or cold rather than to be lukewarm. There is power in the touch of God. Amen. And you'll read whether it's you touching him or him touching you. Amen. When that touch happens, I believe the supernatural power of God can make a difference in our service this morning. Amen. If you'll just reach out and make contact, if you'll just make a connection with Almighty God, I'm telling you, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever hope, think, or ask according to his power. Amen. And I'm thankful for ministry. And just a little story about a touch. My son, Landon, who's over enjoying Sunday school over there, he was born 3 months early, pound and 13 ounces. And I'll never forget it. It was on a Wednesday night, and my pastor was preaching about when ministry marches into your life. And that night I'd rushed my wife to the hospital with severe pain in her. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I called my pastor, He said he didn't think he'd have to live that sermon so shortly after he preached it. And he marched up to that hospital, and things were not good. My wife is a walking miracle. My son is a walking miracle. And things were not going well. And the doctors told me and my pastor, they said, listen, your son's premature. At this rate, he has no lungs. It's going to be impossible for him to breathe on his own. It's going to be impossible for him to make any utterances. You will not hear him when he comes, so just brace yourself for that. And we just kind of felt a challenge in our spirit. And me and my pastor paced the halls of that hospital, and we began to pray. And we began to ask God that all things would be well. And out of nowhere, we heard the loudest scream you'll ever hear, lit up that hospital. God put lungs in my baby boy. Lungs where there were not supposed to be any lungs, because I'm telling you this morning, there's power in his touch. And if you'll just call on his name, Amen. He makes it real simple for us this morning. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Healings and miracles are not a thing of the past, but they're still happening in the year 2019. Amen. Cancer can flee at the mention of his name. Amen. He can break the chain of addiction at the mention of his name. Amen. You can be loose from depression at the mention of his name. The purpose of coming together as a family of God is so that we can get in touch with the creator of heaven and earth, who said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Amen. Whatever you need today, I want to challenge you in the Holy Ghost, amen, to just reach out and make contact with the Savior God Almighty. Thank you for having us this morning.
Told him before church, I said, I'd like for you to greet the crowd today, and an older pastor friend of mine used to call it giving everybody a sample. And so I told him, I said, that's what I mean. And so I just told him, as this was Exodus from the pulpit today, I said, man, that's a good sample. And so we're looking forward to tonight. I don't know if he'll have the lift in here, or he'll just be lifted up in the spirit. But I anticipate a great evening. And again, what a thrill it is to join with Jesus in this trip to another world. And I bring to you the burden of the Holy Ghost, and I thrill at the power of God that is working in the middle of the darkest night America has yet seen. You are a beaming light to somebody. You may think your light is a flickering candle, but I'm telling you, you offer hope if you know anything about Jesus in this hour. I'd like for us to move immediately into the lesson today, and we will try to focus, and there's no way to finish this, but I want you to ask yourself what your real goal is in this Christian thing that we're doing. What is your real goal? What do you find yourself hungry for every day that will amplify that goal? What do you find yourself praying for in your prayer life that will help you have power to attain that goal? And what do you find yourself disciplining your life for that will lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us? So that goal must be of the highest nature in the world, in order to outstrip the greatest powers of the world. Am I making sense yet? In order for us to overcome every fear, every doubt, every natural inclination of flesh that typically holds us hostage, there must be a goal that we're looking at that will help us to stay hungry, because we know God doesn't feed anybody but the hungry. He illustrates it over and again in his word. And so it's a very, very powerful thing. So our goal as humans and people that are locked into a sinful nature, of course it's conversion. That conversion is to be shifted from life according to the flesh, according to the knowledge of man, into a life in the spirit, and a life according to the knowledge of the Creator. Those things bring about a conversion. We talk about conversion as if it's something that just happens in a moment. What happens in a moment is we change directions, and that is a conversion of our efforts or where we're headed. But that conversion that changes us from walking this way to this way is only the beginning of the race. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That's a critical statement. It can be said so quick you get to thinking that maybe all you got to do is just turn that direction. No, he said, walk in the light. Pursue the things of God. And he gives us definitives that will truly help us to obtain this goal that we're looking at. Becoming one with God is done through obedience to the different truths. If you decide to disobey the law, you become one with the disobedience of the law. And the likelihood of Brother Matt getting you is always there. Is that right, Sister Laney? The likelihood of getting a ticket, it becomes possible and real optional if you decide to become one with disobedience. And so every law of the Spirit is a step by faith that leads us into the ultimate oneness with Him in this next picture I'm fixing to show you. And I want to be totally converted, or in the process of conversion, when the last moment of that conversion takes place. And so one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible is, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Well, how likely is it for that to occur when the Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God, and sons of God are in training to be one with God. So in that process, how likely is it that we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye if the other scripture that is accompanying that is we are changed into His image from glory to glory? Meaning each time we sense the presence of God or read and obey the Word of God, we are changed however much that Spirit or that truth is applied to our life. And so if we're not changing daily, walking in Him, a new creature, converted from listening to the flesh to listening to the Word, from obeying the spirit of the world to obeying the spirit of the Christ, how likely is it that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed? So your confidence in that final change is being given to us by daily change or weekly change or monthly change. When you look in the mirror and see gray hair, you know you're changing. Or when you see no hair. When you look in the little dial of the scales, you know how much you've been eating. Or you know how much you haven't been eating. Change is going on everywhere. People are looking for new clothes. They're looking for new houses. They're looking for conversion in everything they have going on, except in the thing that's the most important, and that is the change that goes on in our mind and our heart from day to day, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because in a moment when you think not, the Son of Man's coming, and the rapture is going to take place, and the preacher's probably not going to be at your house and say, this is the rapture, get a hold of that spirit. If you don't know the voice of God, you're probably not going to change much. If you're only watching people and they change, what if they're slow about changing? You are not likely where the person is that's sitting next to you this morning. You have your own location on this escalator
that's called walking by faith or growing up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that ever ascended on high by the blood. We do know Elijah did that. We do know that Enoch was translated, but that was a supernatural precedence that was set so that we could understand that there was coming a day, unto us a child would be born, unto us a son would be given, and he would bleed blood that would be an ability to convert us through the blood, through his name, through his word, and we could become one with God through Jesus Christ. That's the message of the hour, and the goal that any preacher should be attempting to teach people is that we want to be one with him, so that when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain, I don't care if you're down here or if you're right here, in one split second you're going to be complete in the attempt of the goal that you have set for your life. Let's pray. God, help me. Let my spirit be renewed day by day to be converted into becoming one with you. One in thought, one in action, one in trying to help save my friends and family and neighbors. Your whole attempt at coming to this earth was to example the finale, and that is the rapture of the church. I don't care what the name is on the church. The name in your heart is what's going to make all the difference in the world when the attraction of the rapture takes its place. So it's my solemn conviction that I will give myself to prayer and to study and to attendance in the word, so that I can help you dream the dream that will make all the difference in millions of millenniums of your life. And that will only be the start. So let's look. The book plainly declares it. Growing is a process. Grow in grace and in knowledge. For those of you that may not heard, I won't give you a study on it, but I'll tell you the definition of grace. The Bible says that the grace of God teaches us. And so grace is a teacher, and it is a unmerited favor is part of it. But grace taught Noah how to build an ark. Grace is what goes out into the world, and the grace of God teaches you. That's what the song was sung. There's a better life. There's a more glorious life. And so grace comes out and says, look, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Now, it's not even a merited favor. It's unmerited that God would send grace to somebody so pitiful as your pastor. But he did it, and I responded. And grace brings you into the throne room. Come here, Aaron, would you stand right here? How many of you know that the Bible tells us without a equivocation that you cannot come into the presence of God with sinful flesh? So mercy stands at the throne room. Grace escorts you in, but mercy is what keeps you from dying when you get in the presence of God. The mercies of the Lord standeth in the presence of the Lord. And it's the mercy of God that you're not judged immediately when you get into the presence of the Lord. And grace then takes you there for a cleansing of your mind and heart. Then grace escorts you out and shows you. And that's why 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, and all of those show you a bunch of people in the ditch. They drove off the road. And grace went and said, man, you just got to get up. Go ask God for forgiveness. He don't mind you getting back on the highway of holiness. Grace escorts you. Now that is the unmerited favor of God, to take an idiot like me and try to make me one with God. I broke down in my office this morning just thinking about this stuff. I told Brother Moore, I said, man, tears just begin to fill my eyes to think that God's grace would continue to deal with my life, continue to try to escort me into a holy city. And mercy is what makes it possible for you that live in the flesh to continue to being escorted by grace, teaching you, and this is the way, this is the way, this is the word, this is the thing. And the whole title of this lesson is From a Seed to a Saint. It's a process to grow an oak tree. It is a process to grow tomato vines. It is a process to grow anything, and to grow from being a human with filled with sin and iniquity, and to grow into the grace of His holiness. That's unthinkable that God would invite such a pitiful person as me. That's why He said He's going to make you a peculiar people, because it's peculiar for people to get converted from a sinful nature into the glorious holiness of God. Holiness is a process. It's not one thing you do. It is one thing you follow, and that is a holy God who has a holy city and a Holy Ghost to help get you there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about joining a church. It's about making a commitment. I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to be able to ascend and descend. I want to be able to lead my kids up and down through every bit of life until inside of them is a river that flows like a Niagara. And the people of hell cannot stop that kingdom. I wish somebody would stand up and give Him the kind of praise He deserves for the kind of word He's delivering. Thank you again. I cannot tell you what an honor it is to preach Jesus to people like you that I love, that I walk with every day. It is an honor beyond words to preach Jesus to men and women that I've seen suffer, to men and women that I've seen experience privations of different natures. I am here to tell you it's the greatest honor that a man could ever have to preach Jesus to a world that wants a future that's bigger than they are. Keep praying. Here's the word of the Lord. Ye therefore, beloved. Now this is over in the training of the church. This is not becoming the church. The book of Acts is where you become the body of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are where you develop a faith that Jesus Christ is the life that would get you through this world and out of this world. In the book of Romans through Jude is the management of your faith. And so in this process, you're in 2 Peter here. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfast. It's easy to give up on yourself if you're not careful. It's easy. You have to get up every day and face this stuff, because it wants to drag you back. It wants to tell you you don't need to move forward. It wants to tell you there's no real hope that's beyond where you've had to live for 30 years or 50 years. I'm here to preach to you, and that's why I said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. Because when a preacher gets up and mounts the holiness of God and says, look, come unto me all you that labor and you've been burdened down with all the cares of this flesh, let me tell you, there's a greater life. They couldn't have sung a better song for the message being preached today. I want to tell you, He's a way maker. He is a loving God that's so sufficient in all of His ways, but His ways are past finding out. That's why we got the Holy Ghost that'll lead and guide us into all truth. I'm here to tell you, and truth is what's going to set you free from every bit of your carnal nature, and also from a graveyard and from everything else. I'm preaching to you today, Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. Jesus Christ, the way of God. I wish you'd pray for your neighbor. We got to have each other. Would you pray for your neighbor? I don't care if it's your husband, wife, or friend. Let's pray for one another right now. I'm not talking about a passive prayer. I'm talking about a passionate prayer. Help me to be to my neighbor what they need me to be. Help them to sense that my aspirations have not yet been reached. I don't yet have a glorified body that will fly. I have a spirit that's leading me to overcome this flesh in every sense of the word. But I am going to get a glorified body. You can't fly in this flesh. But if you're truly seeking God and obeying everything, that just one bite at a time, you can't gobble that whole book up. Don't get discouraged with yourself because you still got this battle of this flesh. That's why I said crucify it every day. Because this stuff will put the drag on you. You'll get to thinking there's not a Chinaman's chance. And I don't even know where the phrase came from. I've tried my best to figure out that one. I've heard it all my life. Yeah, there's not a chance in China you'll do that. Them Chinese are selling us stuff. Beware lest ye also being led away. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, you got to help me. He said, we're a body. And you are obligated by belonging to the body of Christ to not tell your neighbor about the faults of your neighbor, but go to him and tell him, I'm praying for you. I saw you stumbling the other day, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm your brother and I'm your sister, and you're not going to fall, God helping me. I'm going to be your brother and sister, and when you stumble and act like you're going to fall, you lean my direction. We'll bear one another's burdens. We'll bear one another's weakness. We're not about to let you just fall and crumble. You miss a couple of services, I'm going to be on the phone saying, look, I'm here to tell you I'm your brother, and we're going to make it. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you just count on. You don't even have to tell me. All I want you to know, I'm praying for you, because I've been through hell myself. I've been through a little touch of iniquity myself, and I want you to know that our God is for us. He's not looking for a chance to damn you and to kill you and to destroy you. He's looking for a chance to get you back up. The Holy Ghost pray through you for a minute. Don't let the world tell you you got to get it all done today to be a Christian. In order to be a Christian nowadays, you just got to be a follower of Christ. People can notice that you've changed. I don't care if it's like the snail he finally got on the ark. Just know after about a month, you ought to be able to look back and see a couple of inches. Hello? Somebody ought to be able to say, hey, look, I've been watching you. You hadn't moved, but then I noticed the other day that, man, the way you talk is just a little bit different than the way you used to think. I refuse to let my friends hold me hostage. Friends will do it, and they don't even know they're doing it. I know you, and I know the way you act, and here's all your experiences that I remember 20 years ago. There's someone trying to drag me back to 20 years ago. You're not dragging me back to when I used to lie, cheat, and steal. Not on your life. He's growing me. I still make mistakes. I still come short. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not what I used to be. There's some distance between me and my history. There's some distance. And the blood has made that possible. And the Holy Ghost has made that possible. And the Word of the Lord has made that possible. But if your experience hasn't changed in the last 10 years, I encourage you to be the first in the altar. That don't mean come down here. That means while I'm preaching, find you an altar and say, God, I'm telling you, your spirit's got a hold of me this morning. And your word is converting my mind while he's speaking. Somebody say, grow in grace. That don't mean, how do you grow in with something that's substantive, and it just overcomes us. That's why some of you were here back years ago when I was telling the evangelist. Years ago, I told the church. I tell you the way, based on all the other people that's saying it, the Bible said you're saved by hope. So I told the church, I said, look, we're starting a new name. We're going to change the name out there to the Hopers. Because it says you're saved by hope. But hope's not stagnant, sweetheart. And grace is not stagnant. Grace is an active ingredient that goes from glory to glory. It teaches us how to take the next step. And I don't care where you are today, grace is right there with you to help you move just a little bit closer to this goal that we have set for ourselves. I want to be ready for that rapture. And the way I can do it is to become one with Jesus Christ, who is the first fruits of the resurrection. That's a huge scripture. So, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now. Somebody say now and forever. That growing better not stop. And we need somebody that's further down the road than us that knows how to grow from here to yonder to help grow us. I promise I'm not here to bore you, but I'm not here to be passive. I'm here to put a little... I think I told y'all this, but there was a preacher years ago that the deacon in the church told the pastor. He said, Pastor, I'll tell you how we can win the world. If we just go out there and join them and share his love in the middle of them and just live out there with them. And the pastor said, are you kidding me? Where are we going to take them if we live with them? And would you know it, 3 weeks later, the deacon was stuck in the mud off the road. And the pastor stopped and said, hey, Charles, what happened? He said, Pastor, I hit a water puddle back there, and it jerked my steering wheel, and I slid off down in the ditch. He said, well, hold on, Charles. I'll back down in there, and we'll get you out. He said, Pastor, are you stupid? If you back down there with me, we'll be both stuck in the mud. He said, Charles, that's what I was trying to tell you at church the other day. If we both live like the world, we can't get anybody out of the world. But if we come out of the world, we can help people get out of the world and onto the straight and narrow highway. I'm here to tell you, that old Baptist preacher had that much understanding. I'm telling you, sure, you're some apostolic full of the Holy Ghost. Can understand you don't join the world to reach the world. You live the life and the light shines into the darkness. And they say, man, I saw a great light. I saw a lady. I saw a man. They are full of the Holy Ghost. They live in joy unspeakable and full of glory. They live in power that overcomes every adversary. They're phenomenal. Colossians 3:1. If you then stand right there on the bottom, get a hold of the nail-scarred hand. You don't have to be jerked up here. Somebody can handle you easy. It's nicer. That's it. We're getting rushed, man. He said, in your patience, you possess your soul. You get so tired, you won't be able to reach the last step. Wear yourself out. Just be poised. And the next move of the Spirit lifts that next foot. And then the next prayer meeting moves it to the edge of the next step. There it is right there. Come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and this flesh is trying to hold you back, casting all your cares on me because I care for you. I'm going to be here. I've got angels that's going to help assist you. I've got the word that's going to help guide you. I've got the spirit that's going to help inspire you. And I've got a future that you have never seen. Eye hath not seen. Ear hath not heard. I'm telling you, talking in tongues is not a Pentecostal thing. It's the cry of the soul that intercedes with the marvelous mercy and the grace of God that teaches us, take another step. Take it today. Don't delay. I wish you'd pray for your neighbor right now. Where it's right, would you touch him? Thank you, sir. We're not in this by ourselves. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. God is the Spirit that created all things. Christ is the only person ever born into the world conceived by the Spirit. In the first chapter of Genesis and through the third verse, third chapter, God, somebody say Spirit, he reached down, and how the wind forms things or however else he did it, he could have used water. But what we know, big rivers are formed by water and big trees fall by wind. He uses wind and water to accomplish almost everything on this earth. How he formed man, we don't know. But we have all seen some formations. We have gone to Grand Canyon. We have gone to mountaintops. That wind and water formed all of that. Whatever he chose to do, that Adam and Eve were formed in the image. And you can read it in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse. He created them. And chapter 5 of Romans says, he created them in the similitude of him that was to come. That is in Jesus Christ. Brother, when he could see a foreshadowing of a future thousands of years down the road, and whatever he means, he used the invisible God, formed man out of the dust of the earth, and man, he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then they sinned, and they chose to look at the beggarly elements, and they found themselves outside the Garden of Covenant. And in the process of that, they birthed kids that had a nature that was against God. It was for flesh. And we're born with that sinful nature. Every man that's born is born in sin and shapen in iniquity, behavior that is ungodly. But God said, I'm going to do something about that. I'm coming to you. And the only Spirit that God ever manifest was the fullness of God. And he manifested by giving a mother, a virgin mother, a baby that was born. And that's why the virgin birth is such a meaningful thing, is that God overshadowed Mary, and Mary was with child, and then Mary birthed Jesus, who had pure blood, who thought always in perfect levels. He never sinned. He was tempted to commit adultery. He was tempted to kill people. He was tempted in all points, such as we, and yet without sin. I don't like to think of him that way. He's the one that told me he was tempted in everything that we would ever be tempted in. But he said, I'm going to taste death for every man, because I'm going to create a spirit that you can be born again. You come into this earth a sinner, but you're going to find you an altar. You're going to find you a place of repentance, and you're going to find you a baptismal tank. And by faith, we are baptized into Jesus Christ's body. And then the Spirit continues to work with us, growing us up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. I am becoming, and we are becoming, and we are going to reach it, because greater is he that is for us than he that is against us. He said the only thing that will stop this process is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is just simply this: you don't believe it can do it. The minute you decide to get rid of blasphemy, you can get back on the track. Because when you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, you will follow Him. Your hunger every day will be to be like Him. You will hug on Him. He will hug on you. And He'll say, son, though your sins are as scarlet, just take another step. I'm with you always, even to the end of your journey. We're going to make it. The preacher's going to preach Holy Ghost to you. And the preacher's going to preach the Word to you. But the Holy Ghost is going to give you power to ascend into the holy place. And you're going to find many holy places. You're going to find every change is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of a holy God. And He's going to keep changing you till one day you got wings, buddy, and you can fly. Be careful flying here. Aaron was about to resuscitate him. Thank you, Aaron. We don't play games with this stuff. What can pull our minds and hearts together? Polarity. That's a science that's easily recognizable. You tie two hot wires together and you'll have a fire, but it ain't a holy fire. You tie a positive wire and a negative wire together, and somebody say, you got energy. You can turn on air conditioner. You can turn on heat. So when perfect joins imperfect. My God, somebody caught it already. When glory ties on to the non-glorious, He designed this thing so that it has a polarity that though Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 9, I think, 12 and 9. He said, let me tell you something. He said, in this old body, I got all kind of weakness. With this pitiful mind, I've got all kind of weakness. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ hath taken me and that polarity of His strength with my weakness. All things have become possible. And now in Christ, I am a new creature. Brother, let me tell you something. The law of science teaches us a lot of stuff. And that's His airplanes. It is about all kind of other stuff. Let me tell you something. They're in elementary stages. Jesus teaches us that though your sins be as scarlet, they're going to be white as snow. When you go put you in a graveyard, if you die in the faith, let me tell you something, that body's going to put on immortality. I'm telling you, the polarity of the resurrection is the very vital thing that's going to glorify everybody in this house and going to glorify you on the day when the trump of God sounds. You want to be alive in Jesus when they put you in a graveyard, and the power of the resurrection is already in place. All you got to do is tie into it. You just hook up an old dead air conditioner to 220, red and black. Put a ground wire on it. You bring your sins to Jesus at an altar, confessing your sins, your weakness. And the blood reaches down. And all of a sudden, a spirit starts moving through your whole system. And as you confess and repent of your sins and say, I don't want to live that way any longer, this weak frame takes on the energy of the polarity of heaven's mercy. And that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when that gets a hold of you, you come forth as a new creature. A hot wire and a ground wire. Air conditions your home. How simple is that? And yet none of us can explain electricity. And we keep buying into the devil's lies until you understand, God, you can't become part of God. What I understand, stay away from the red wire.
particularly if you're standing in water, because it can kill you.
The same power that can comfort you by proper use can offer you a future. How many of you like being able to have a heater? And how many of you like having a Savior? You just got to get the polarity straight. You can't be the red wire. You got to be the black wire. Because the red wire is where the blood comes from. And you ain't got enough good blood in you. I don't care how rich your dad was and how smart he was. You ain't got enough red blood in you to get out of here. But the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all our sins. What is it that makes us forget our differences? To work as a unit. You're my brother. I saw you do stupid the other day, but you're my brother. I did stupid the other day. Thank you for letting me be your brother. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. I'm sorry I'm not perfect. I wish I were. I'd already be in heaven. As long as your 2 feet are on this earth, you still got a contract with this body. And the earthy shall not gain heaven. But the earthy, 1 Corinthians 15, the earthy shall be changed little by little. Don't you get discouraged because you've only made an inch last month. You just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I wasn't a fast mover. Man, there's a lot of people got there a lot ahead of me. But we're all going to wind up in the same city because I've been changing. I've been changing. I actually am treating my wife better than she deserved. I mean, better than I was. She's not in here. I can go ahead and say it. Truth is, she treats me a whole lot better than I deserve. But I'm so grateful that God's living in her and treats me like he wants her to treat me, not like she wants to. Jesus, help us. I wish you'd pray once again. God, don't let our pastor go to sleep on the job. Don't let him lose the vision. Don't let him lose the touch. Better pray for your preacher. Hell would love to take me out of this pulpit. Hell would love to destroy my influence in your life. And he tries every day to get me to be against people. I'm not going to do it because he was for me when I was at my worst. Where he leads. Some of you singers, help us. Me, I will follow where he leads. Do you really mean it, or is it just a song? Because as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Sing it loud, singers. I'll go with him. If I can't get my flesh under enough subjection, I'm at least going to look that way. I'm at least going to feed my eyes what can be. And I'm not turning to the right nor the left. I'm going to always face that resurrection day when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I'm going to believe without any equivocation that that same Spirit shall quicken my mortal body. And so if I don't have any money and if I don't have any real strong friends, I'm going to have a friend in the heavens who has made himself so available that my sins, my worst sins, don't hide his friendship. All I got to do is confess I've been wrong, and he's going to be there to help me strong, help make me strong. All I got to do is tell him I need you, and he's going to be there. He said, I'm a God that's close at hand. You may think I'm a million miles away, but I've been watching every step you take. I've been looking for this opportunity to see you stumble trying to get there yourself, and I've been waiting to reach down with mercy and say, come on, you can enter the presence of God. Grace will teach you how, and grace will teach you how to live after you get reunited. How can you know that there's going to be a rapture? simply because Jesus Christ went through every step, every human. He tasted death for every one of us. And he rose from the dead. So strong is that realization that the Apostle Paul and other writers lead us to the understanding that if Christ be not raised from the dead, your faith is a washout. It'll end at a dead-end street. It'll end at a mountain you can't even scale the side of it. But if you understand the resurrection, all the rest of the truth is great. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And if you are facing a huge step, all you've got to do is put your foot in front of the next one. Spiritually, Jesus is here today. The devil is here to knock you off the cliff. He hates that you have already got on the first step. He hates. That's why. We don't have time. He's ready. He's on go. He's in the spirit of this thing. He hates it that you're as far along as you are. Don't you ever let condemnation come your way when the word of God is preached and you hear truths that you have never obeyed. The first thing the devil does is jump right there because you've been on one step for 30 years and the Holy Ghost is saying, let's go. Here's something else for you. Don't you let condemnation keep you there. I've been in that shape. I didn't understand that obedience was better than sacrifice. I fought a battle with understanding that statement for years because Saul tried to tell Samuel, the prophet, man, we sacrificed almost everything. 1 Samuel, 15th chapter. He said, well, why do I hear the blating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? I told you destroy the whole works of the flesh. When I tell you to go to the altar and destroy your old man and all the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, I mean all of it. Well, Saul thought he could get by with doing half of it or a third, or two-thirds of it, and he tried it. And when you hear his screaming voice to Samuel and say, Samuel, would you take me back to those old services I used to have in the 50s? Would you take me back and offer one more sacrifice? He said, I can't do it. You took one step too many the wrong direction. You have broken your everlasting covenant and you have destroyed your own faith. And I could take you to all kinds. He said, let me tell you something. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. And couched in that surrounding is where you find that scripture. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Because he said, if you take me, I'll offer any sacrifice you want me to offer. He said, it's too late. You broke your relationship with faith. And faith is the only thing that can pull the covenant of obedience into a place that will offer you the future that I'm offering you. Don't turn God down today if he's whispering in your ear. Move forward an inch. Don't let anybody see you. That's fine. But let me tell you, let him know I'm not giving up on you. I may not go to the altar, but I've made a decision. I'm not staying here. This here is not good enough. I want heaven.
And I want a glorified body. It will be too late. He said, many will then call on me. Once they see that the rapture really took place. He said, I've already showed them how the rapture will take place. They put me in a grave. And I want you to have a visible experience of how great God is when it comes to flesh that is submissive to the will of the invisible spirit. How many of you know they said it clearly? If Christ be not risen from the grave, your faith is in vain. But if Christ got out of that grave, turn it loose, sweetheart. You got bona fide reason to turn your back on the world and all the things you never have been and the things you were that should not have been. His grace is sufficient, meaning his teaching. I don't care where you are, Eric. Don't care how far out yonder you were. If you just stand up, that's enough to signify him. You've got faith and you've got obedience.
if Jesus comes in a matter of minutes. And some of you are sitting there and you say, I don't have time, because that's the lie the devil always told me. You're too late, sir. You should have done it back when you was a younger boy. And finally, I stood up boldly in the eyes of the devil and I said, look here, you hear me. If any part of his truth is true, every part of his truth is true. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden and burdened down with care. I will give you rest. And he will arrest everything you've ever done and he will make a path for you. Somebody ought to let the Holy Ghost take over right now. I'm here to tell you the Spirit of the Lord maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. And he puts his arm around you, Eric. And he says, though your sins, I don't care what your history's like, I'm coming to save you. I'm going to get you out and I'm going to get you in. We're being warned daily by all the prophecies that are coming true. The wickedness that's taken over. A must. Us to see what God saw. A lost and dying social system. Let me tell you, if going to school could save us, I'm talking about secular school. We got enough school diplomas hanging around in Washington. There should never be another suicide. There should never be another war within the United States. If secularism and social status and money can get us out of here, then forget all this church business. Just go with the flow. But I'll never forget Art Linkletter coming to Shreveport when Diane committed suicide by jumping off of the building. And he told us openly. He said, the news media beat a path to my door and said, Mr. Linkletter, do you want to cover it up or do you want to expose what really happened? Tears falling down his face. Art Linkletter said this. With tears at Hearst Youth Center when I was a young man. He said, you're not about to let the loss of my daughter mean less than what it should mean to the rest of my society. He said, you tell it just exactly like it was. Drugs caught my kid to do what that drugs can do. And he said, I want them to know drugs can't save you. Only Jesus can save us. Let's stand. No way to finish this. We should pray. If you feel any inclination of the Spirit to move closer, just pray. And just don't pray a historic prayer that don't have meaning. Put some serious spirit in it. And let's pray all over this building as the musicians play some music. And certainly anyone's welcome to come to this altar. But my encouragement today is make an altar where you are. Reassess what your vision is. Did you just want to get the Holy Ghost? Did you just want to get a reputation as being a churchgoer? Or are you want to really be led by the Spirit? Because he said, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. How likely is it you'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye? If it's been years since you really found a change in your life, I'm not here to comfort you as the world comforts you. I'm here to comfort you with the Comforter. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide. Where does that stop? I have found no stopping place. He said you'll be saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. But he said the Holy Ghost is a power source that will lead and guide. That's active. That's not inactive. When you make a mistake, the Holy Ghost will lead you out of it. When you get cool and callous, the Holy Ghost will create sensitivity again. Sing it, singers, all over this building. Don't let the devil put you in condemnation that you need to make a change. I promise you, as pastor of this church, presbyter in the Texas district for 17 years, prayer leader in the new district, I still have to repent. Not going to hide that from you. because temptation's going to come. Temptation's going to happen. And if you give in, all you got to do is tell God, I see where I made a mistake. I'm going to correct that. I've been too insensitive. I have been just going through the motions. Sing it with all your heart.
He's all I need. He is all I need. Oh, Jesus
is all
I need.
Pray for one another all over the building. Our kids need us at our best. Our kids need us at our best. You're the only light some of your family's going to see. He said, I'm the light, but I'm going to make you the light. They're going to see you overcoming flesh. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have bad days. But you got a pastor that understands. He's faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins, past, present. Oh, sing it. Oh, God, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In wrath, make known mercy. That's it. Go ahead. Sing it.
He's good.
You've got more time to get ready to go to heaven than you do a need to eat.
He's good.
And to keep a performance or a schedule of flesh to touch the hem of his garment. This Sunday morning may mean the whole difference in the trajectory of your future. Please don't just go through the motion. Stir up the gift. That's what he says. Stir it up. Make your calling and election sure. Oh, sing it in the Holy Ghost, Sister Wanda. If you've got to go, please don't feel embarrassed if you need to leave. But I'm doing everything but better.